Welcome, everyone. This is Mexican Crossing Lines with your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You are listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And tonight, my show is all about an organization called, a foundation called Public, except that in place of the U, there's a V.
Hmm.
Like, you know, the old timey way they used to make the V and the U the same letter?
Yeah, that they have on buildings.
On buildings, mm-hmm. It kind of doesn't get used anymore, but these folks are, they're using it. And I'm going to tell you about how the organization, nonprofit, Public, this foundation, is part of the Nexus group that helped to support, fund the Standing Rock, Veterans Stand for Standing Rock, that came out of the Young Turks funding of millions of dollars for both Wes Clark and Michael A. Wood Jr. And why that's relevant to who is behind the support and the funding of the caravans and the organizers and pseudo activists or mercenary activism that we have seen. It is down. It is dirty. It is not beyond these folks to stage events. It is not beyond these mercenary activists, in order to get their point across, to stage events, situations, and photos for a photo op, for propaganda, for media coverage. And I'm going to tell you where that comes from. I'm going to remind you of what these folks are connected to, and we'll be talking more in depth about the power and the privilege that they touch at the highest levels of government, of Hollywood, etc. We will go over some other of the Nexus connected people that are also Public, the foundation, like Sergio Fernandez de Cordova and Rachel Gerald Cohen. You don't know who those names are. I haven't mentioned them before, but we're going to get into it tonight on A Mexican Crossing Lines. But first, I would like to thank you for sending me your questions, your comments. A lot of folks still don't understand the importance of Standing Rock and what I learned from investigating the Kathleen Bennett case. And I'm going to be talking a lot about Nexus, the connections Nexus has to Public, this organization that is run by Sergio Fernandez de Cordova and others, how they connected to Standing Rock, how they connected to Wesley Clark, how they connected to TYT, and most importantly, how they connect to the ideology, to the propaganda around the campaigns of fighting pipeline, petroleum pipeline, and other types of infrastructure, fighting for climate change, and fighting for immigration reform that looks like this, with caravans, mass migration, and even, as I shared with you in my last program, now drowned babies at our southern border. I wanted to also remind everyone, we are going to try to make the trip to the Guatemala-Mexico border, along with a contingent of other media people, including one of my colleagues in Tijuana, Oscar El Blue Ramirez. So we have a travel fund link to share with you guys. We want to bring you the news as it happens, as it is really taking place, without the filter, without the bias. And in order to do, and you know, your girls speak Spanish and English. By the way, I owe you a Spanish program. Sorry I haven't brought it to you. I wanted to talk about this so badly. I decided to do this show tonight instead of bringing you the Spanish one, but I will catch up to you, okay? Promise. So I'm going to be doing the translating and the interviewing and doing it in the way that only a Mexican Crossing Lines can, with folks from Mexico and also from Guatemala in the United States. So please donate to that travel fund. Thank you again to all of you that have already donated. You've taken us one step closer to our goal so that we can have money for the travel and the expenses. Duke, how can folks donate to our cause and also support our work and get messages to us?
Definitely. Well, we just put the link on the screen there for our Guatemala Travel Fund. Also, if you don't get that one, just go to kpppfm.com/donate, and there's a little description at the top of the donate page with the link to go towards the travel fund, and it's tax deductible because we are a nonprofit, non-commercial radio station in Fargo, Moorhead. You know, thank you all for who have donated so far. We just started this process 2 days ago. And thank you, and thank you, and thank you very much. We really appreciate it. And don't forget, when you donate, if you will let me mention your name on the air here locally, I would like that. I'm not going to do it if people don't give me permission. But I'd like people in the Fargo-Moorhead community to hear the names of people who contribute to the station, contribute to our efforts, contribute to our travel funds, contribute to our media. Just, you know, if you make a donation, write in a little message there, please mention my name. People have said, don't mention me, and that's cool. I'm not going to mention you unless you say, go ahead and mention my name. Or just my initials. You know, just let me know. Otherwise, you're going to be totally anonymous. If you want to get a hold of us, you can call our call-in line, leave a message. And we play those on the air from time to time. So if you want to give a message and you feel real snappy and you want to give a message and we can play it on the air, you can call 701-566-0917. Again, that number is 701-566-0917. You can leave up to a 3-minute message. You know, some people just sometimes call just for information. They want to talk and lay some stuff out. If you'd rather do email, do cindy@kpppfm.com or do me, duke@kpppfm.com. You can also go to our Twitter feed and go @media_PPP. And on Facebook, 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead, the People's Press Project, the Mexi-Can. Now, I mentioned kpppfm.com. That's where we put our videos. We edit a lot of the audio for local play. Not all of them, but some of them. And we have to edit them if there's swear words in them, and we have to put station breaks, and sometimes we take some content out, you know. But we play a lot of our shows locally on 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead. So we take that audio file and we put it up on the web at kpppfm.com. If you go to a Mexican Crossing Lines, you can see all the shows that have been done and up to date with the videos. And the videos, by the way, are on YouTube. We upload the YouTube videos from doing these shows in high definition. So people that are on Facebook, and there's a whole other audience on YouTube that gets to see our videos, and we put those up right at the end of shows. We do each time we do a show, it immediately goes up, takes about an hour before it actually shows up. And that way, also, when you go back to find a show that you might want to see, or you can get to see the whole thing, you can go to YouTube and scroll back and look for the date and the title, and you can just play the show that way. Our YouTube channel is, we're now over 1,000 subscribers. We're still waiting on the partners agreement to get all the fancy tools that we can do. And we plan on doing some YouTube Lives, but we're going to continue to do Facebook Lives. And you'll always be able to find it at 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead. And don't forget to subscribe to that YouTube channel. It's Duke1517, Duke1517, or Duke Gomez Shemp. It's just the title of the channel shortened, Duke1517. And also, when you're on our website at kpppfm.com, please go to the Donate tab and make a donation to our Guatemala Travel Fund, or to just our station generally. We really would appreciate it. We appreciate the support. And thank you all for listening and watching tonight.
Now, if you want to really learn the history of who is in the background, involved in the funding, in the support, in the propaganda behind the campaign that happened at Standing Rock against the Dakota Access Pipeline, and continuing with the encampments that you're currently seeing at the border that are supposed to be for the border support caravan activists. The propaganda that goes along with the detention facilities being called concentration camps, and who is behind all of these things. You need to go back and watch some of the videos that I did, some of the shows that I did on Nexus and on Mary Ann Thompson Frank. Nexus is a billionaire wealth investment group that has, you know, all of these different breakout groups like the Indigenous Issues Group and Youth Council and all sorts of different smaller groups within Nexus that focus on certain areas. But ultimately, what these billionaires and millionaires do is figure out how they can invest their millions and millions of dollars into things, campaigns, people, politicians that will bring them good investments and make their feelings, you know, make their heart feel good, that they're doing something good, that their philanthropy isn't damaging, that their philanthropy isn't causing destabilization of governments and harming people of color, which is the opposite of what they claim that they want to do with their millions and their billions. But in truth, these people are so far removed from reality and from people that they have ended up supporting people like Wesley Clark Jr., people like Michael A. Wood Jr., people like the Veterans Stand for Standing Rock involved Indians that put an Oglala Lakota elder and her mom in danger, took Mary Trujillo away from her family and put her in her early grave, and left Kathleen Bennett in a jail to rot. That was just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg for me to see what kind of damage these millionaires and billionaires connected to Nexus can do by funding people like Wes Clark Jr. and the folks that he brought, the fake shaman, the fake Indians like Red Wolf Pope, who turned out to be a serial rapist, that were brought to Standing Rock, that were brought into the leadership of these movements. I don't know why these people that have so much money haven't got the sense in their brain to, you know, to do better at sharing their propaganda or sharing their information in such a way that we don't, as an audience, we don't feel like we're being treated like we're stupid. Because honestly, when you have propaganda rammed down your throat that feels disingenuous, as a consumer of media, as an American citizen, doesn't it make you mad that someone thought you were so stupid that you didn't have enough sense on your own to know that what was being presented to you is biased, is a lie? Because I think the American people are mad about it. The most recent example of one of the Standing Rock phonies using this kind of fake propaganda is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's staged photos. I'm sure you've seen them circulating the internet. And it is now been revealed, even more than the fact that she released these photos recently, which had never been previously shown, while she was still campaigning, even though she was pretty well known in the media at the time. These pictures of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez covering her face, standing in front of a chain link fence, and with her hands in her face in her hands as if she's crying, bent over, holding herself up with one arm on her knee, the other clamped hard over her eyes as if she is just sobbing, a wincing face looking directly into the camera with that bright red lipstick she always wears, as she furrows her brow and looks pained. the black and white stark photo of people on one side of the fence while what appeared to be correctional officers or Border Patrol agents or something of the that nature stand on the other side of the gate. We now know today, as it turns out, that these photos were not only obviously staged, as many of the people that saw them on social media recognized immediately, even her own followers, but that what she was actually looking at was an empty parking lot. Duke, what are your thoughts about this? There wasn't any, she wasn't even looking at the tent city. She's supposedly at the Tornillo place. And as soon as I heard that she was part of the group of people that I've been covering that were at Standing Rock and that were part of the Tornillo occupation, many of the same activists, some of whom ended up arrested and in our home after their arrest, like Lisa Fithian, and as we know, others that have been part of many of these fraudulent enterprises going forward after Standing Rock, like the disaster relief vultures that went to Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria, Alex Cohen, also part of the Tornillo occupation, and many other activists from Standing Rock that were there. It didn't surprise me to know that AOC went and joined them, because AOC had joined up with those same activists and actors at Standing Rock. Remember, that was her origin story.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it didn't surprise me. It didn't that they were fake, because, you know, these people like her, you know, that she's been this supposed rising liberal star, and I haven't trusted her since the beginning. I don't trust anyone who said, I made my start at Standing Rock. I was in a wigwam, and I went outside, and my life had changed, and suddenly I had purpose, you know. Any of the people who did that, I don't trust. I don't believe. And I watched her rise in the polls and win her seat in New York, and it's like, oh, she's in Congress now. The thing is, in Congress, you have to run every 2 years, I think, right? You know, so she's already campaigning for re-election. And she hasn't, you know, and for her to put this fake news, you know, which is coming from the left, not the right. The right does fake stuff too, but the left is doing so much propaganda. And people are eating it up. And for this to come out, you know, I was looking at it when I first saw it. I thought, what? And also, you know, she didn't even stage being in a room full of kids or something. You know, she should have done that. It would have been better. It would have looked more realistic. Anyone can go stand by a fence where there's guards behind. Anyone go stand behind a chain link fence and pretend they're at a detainment camp. You know, we've got one up in Grand Forks. We could go stand out that door and pretend we're doing something about it and just say, oh, I feel bad. You know, but she's a really, really pushing on the empathy of people who really want to do something, and they just turn over their doing for her to do something. They feel like they're doing something because she is, and she's just fake, and she's just fooling you all.
And, you know, I've seen things like this before where people that are connected to wealth and power, I saw some people were trolling Alyssa Milano, because apparently she went down to see kids in detention facility, but she took she you know, got a Lyft or an Uber or something like that, and they sent some pretty fancy car. So she showed up in a pretty fancy car with her, you know, cell phone and, you know, all her accoutrement of being a superstar of Hollywood, which has now apparently launched herself into politics. And I've told you that she is also connected to the same group of politicians working with closely to the Bernie Sanders campaign and the Democratic Socialists of America. Okay. And it's funny to me because a lot of these characters that came out of Standing Rock, many of whom you have heard say that they're poor, they're homeless, they're living out of their cars. You know, you should sponsor one of these members of the caravan. They can't because they don't have anything. You know, they don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. They're living out of their vehicle. But you can take in a refugee, can't you? It's not that hard. Sponsorship is easy. Many of those people grew up with a silver spoon, like Laura Christina Livingston Berger.
Mm-hmm.
Like Amadeo, Rumney, Guggenheim. You know, these people, they come from extreme wealth. They come with parents that go to, Ivy League schools, or they go to Ivy League schools themselves, like Pitaya Queen. These people travel all over the world, like Chudy, like Ponte. They're close to the glitterati of Hollywood, like Frances Fisher and Jane Fonda, and many of the others that we saw it in Standing Rock and beyond Standing Rock. And they want to tell you they're down here fighting the fight, arm in arm with the downtrodden, which they also consider themselves to be part of. And I call them out, as I've called out Pitaya, as I've called out Nicole Ramos, as I've called out a lot of these people, for being part of that creme de la creme and representing themselves, like, for example, Pitaya Queen did in Mexico, as being part of the Central American refugee caravan of LGBTQIA people. Not an American graduate student going to Harvard. That didn't come out until people in the media were being notified that she was misrepresenting who she really was. And a lot of these people are. And it's hilarious to watch them involve themselves in the suffering and take on the suffering and make themselves the center of the suffering, the center of the attention, and once again, the center of the fundraising. In this particular case, we see AOC cashing in on the suffering of children and refugees. If you thought that people strapping fake babies that aren't theirs, rented babies, to their bodies in order to cross the Rio Grande River, putting those children's lives at risk, even when they're infants and toddlers, as I've shown you, is happening, then I'm sure that your stomach was turned when you saw AOC crying in front of a empty parking lot to milk the moment, to milk the pain. And especially, you know that the day of, right, the day before the Democratic debates are going to happen, the day after they find a drowned baby in the Rio Grande River, she releases her pictures, her stage pictures, crying. You know she knew she was doing that on purpose. You knew that she knew that. She didn't accidentally have these photos released in the same time frame as a drowned baby. She wanted to cash in on your suffering right now. And another person that did that brilliantly was Marianne Thompson Frank. You remember Marianne Thompson Frank of the Nexus Group? Here's a picture of her prominently featured in a news screen capture of children that were in the buses. Remember the buses mm-hmm. that were protested by many people? The buses that many people wanted to stand in front of and stop from moving forward.
Oh, yeah.
There's Marianne Thompson Frank in the thick of it all. I showed you back when she was getting involved, how she did a video condemning the actions of the United States and telling people she is a Mexican too, even though she was raised by the 7-Eleven billionaire wealth Citgo white parents that adopted her from Mexico. She'll tell you she is one of these people. And I'm sure that she has a loss of identity that is based on being raised by these American billionaire people. But you can't just claim an identity that you don't have by virtue of purchase or by virtue of power. Unfortunately, that's all that Marianne Thompson Frank knows how to do. It's all she's been taught. And more recently, she is chiming in once again on what is happening with the children. And I'll tell you, this was just posted 11 hours ago. Here's the caption that she posted along with the video I'm about to share with you. I'm not going to share the whole thing. I will share the link or at least Nemo will, in the comments of this show, so you can go watch The Crazy from start to finish. And by crazy, I mean completely cracked out of her mind crazy. What's important about this is the connections that she is making here, not only between the Mnansen Institute and Nexus people, but also between what's happening with the migrants seeking asylum and who she tags. So she starts off by saying, there's a lot to cover, so this video post is a bit long, but here's the overview. One, for all those who care deeply about the migrants seeking amnesty, they're not seeking amnesty, pendeja. It's called asylum. Who have wound up inside the horrible concentration camps, please support Bill Holston's work for immigrants and follow him to stay informed. Two, anti-LGBT laws in Texas. Three, observation, contrasting things going right and things going wrong in Texas and California. Four, shout out to women and men who want to do business with women. We need to be checking up the upcoming Global Women's Summit in the UK, in London, led by the remarkable Mirella Sula. I'm serious, connecting with this group has made a huge difference to my own pursuit and can do the same for you. No, I'm not being paid to say this. I just think it's highly of the opportunity. Five, shout out to millennials pursuing humanitarian work, activism, conscious capitalism, social responsible investing, and philanthropy. Please check out Nexus Global Community's upcoming summit at the United Nations. The connections I made there, and she made these as a youth, that she's talking about, the connections I made there have been hugely beneficial to my own work and left me with incredible friendships that I cherish today. And then she immediately tags two people, Rachel Gerald and Jonah Whitcamper, and says, follow these people. She's known them for years. Number six, the spirit of pride. Here's a huge thanks to Joe Passetti and George Seegers for helping me to have the courage to come out to my parents and how witnessing how they're doing that made such a difference in my life. Because she's bisexual and she's married to a guy, but she's openly bisexual. Seven, shout out to Giselle Castro and Tania Arriales Rodriguez for collaborating to help the Mnansen Institute's School Out of a Box to be ready to launch, designed to help bring school and university level education to the poorest and most underserved communities around the globe via the internet. The first is located in Yucatan, but we have demands for them in the Appalachian areas of the USA or Native American reservations in Latin America, Africa, and Europe. Shout out to the Maya at Centro Comunitario Ucucuchil, Cachibalon, Raxahal Mayab, and especially to Angel Sulub and the Tolteca at the Centro Cultural Tolteca de Teotihuacan AC, Toltec Culture Center, and especially to Irma Leon Cortez, Tonatiu Ricardo Cervantes, one of those people that she has been tagging throughout as the shaman or spiritual leaders that she claims some connection to. Martin Cervantes Cervantes and Ricardo Cervantes Cervantes, Mexica, for all the work you do to serve your communities. And an answer to all of those who say, I can't be a patriot if I care about children in cages or people in other countries, and who assume I can't help U.S. citizens if I'm helping others outside the country. It is not an either or, as it is possible to care about people regardless of living here or in another country. It's possible to help both children in cages and veterans and our own homeless. It's possible to be a patriot and still have compassion for different types of people. And yes, I do serve people in our own community as well as communities outside our country. I do not recognize this as being a mutually exclusive choice. And I believe rising toward making a difference is rooted as part love of our country, but also the belief that heart's capacity for compassion and action is not finite. Well, it is, because it is reserved for some of the crappiest people, like Wesley Clark Jr., Christina Hollenbeck, Manape Lemaire, ex-meth dealer and felon. I mean, this woman has chosen to be very, very close to people that framed an innocent woman and put her in a jail, people that used to sell drugs, people that used to do and still are doing a lot of fraudulent work. So maybe you got blinders on, girl. I don't know what to tell you, but it's a little disturbing. And I wanted to share some of what she just posted about this, what her thoughts about what are happening to these asylum seekers, to these refugees, whatever you want to call them, mass migration, orchestrated mass migration, likely partially funded by her and the work that she is doing and the people that she supports. And listen to this crazy for yourselves.
Hey, Facebook friends, it's Marianne here, and I just wanted to reach out to you guys to tell you about some really exciting things I had on my mind. And they are because there's so much going on right now in our world, both good and bad. You know, on one hand, we're all just like, because of, you know, what's happening with these poor refugees, these migrant children that are being held in these camps, which are concentration camps because people are concentrated, hence where the word comes from. And thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you who are taking a stand and speaking up about that. Because unless every one of us takes the moment that whenever it's given to inform people, yes, I do care about these children. They are human beings to me. And I will speak up about that. And I'm not okay with my country creating situations in which these children are kept without soap, without access to clean water, where they're not having to drink out of the toilets, where they don't have to stand on the toilets because things are so cramped and concentrated. And unless we get to a point where they're given toothpaste. I mean, did you guys hear about the people who survive being held by the Taliban, or people that survive being held by pirates, and they all have been tweeting saying, when I was held by pirates, when I was held by the Taliban, I had toothpaste and soap. I mean, my God, you know, it really does seem insane. So thank you all. Please watch the work of Bill Holton. He is doing amazing work, which he's always done before even this got on the international and national news. Thanks to all of you who have been working on this issue. Thanks to all of you that went down to McAllen with myself and so many other people and witnessed what's happening. Thank you for speaking truth with courage. I know it gets very irritating when people go, I haven't heard about this at all. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, it is true. It is happening. To say otherwise, it's just a bunch of BS. If you don't believe it, then get online, look at the photographs for yourself. Heck, look at my FB cover page. You'll see it. But anyway, so there's one thing that I want to talk about. On the good side of things, I am here in San Francisco. Look at the city behind me. Isn't that gorgeous? One of my favorite cities in the entire world. So this is San Francisco. And it is amazing here. I mean, it's just, you can't go anywhere without seeing the rainbow flag everywhere, in front of Macy's, in front of the public library, in front on every street. People are celebrating, all are welcome, all are accepted. And it is a beautiful thing because, as those of you know, who are part of the LGBT alphabet soup, like I'm the B, one of the Bs, in the state of Texas, they pass a law that allows people to refuse service to those who are LGBT. And while they got people to vote.
Okay. That is enough of that craziness. And there's more. If you thought that was crazy, you have not seen anything yet. I'm going to share a link to a YouTube video about how she funded the consciousness movement in her Mananseen Institute cult. These people are culty. They're cray cray and they're culty. And she talks about how she's a high priestess, or she had visions and dreams about how she's supposed to be some kind of a spiritual leader. But since, you know, she was adopted, her parents had to find her a shaman in Mexico. It's crazy. you need to hear this for yourself and tell me that after you've heard this, that you think that this woman has got all her marbles together. Because she was saying some crazy things in just that video. Do you hear her saying that the kids are drinking out of the toilet?
Yeah. And the thing about toothbrush, too, you know, it's like, I don't know if you remember, but during the Carter administration, there were hostages in Iran or Iraq. I can't remember. Is it Iraq or Iran? I forget. But the first thing they did when they got released, they went and brushed their teeth because they were held without toothbrushes. But she's saying, everybody has toothbrushes. And I've seen this weird thing about toothbrushes coming up. I've seen it all over the place. You know, who said what about toothbrushes? You know, it's like there was like one of our local radio hosts and was saying he's calculating how many toothbrushes and toothpaste you could buy for the amount of money that was being invested in something dealing with border security. And it's like, what's this thing about toothbrushes? I just don't get that.
I don't either. It's part of the propaganda, though. I mean, I don't take things anymore just at face value. I dig deeper. And I think we need to consume media, messages, memes, videos, news reports with a grain of salt. We need to start looking beyond and past the talking heads to figure out what is really going on. Because Wes Clark Jr. denied when I was interviewing him about the veterans stand for Standing Rock and the money, the millions of dollars that he and Michael Awood Jr. raised with the help of the Young Turks, the funding, the support that they had, the connections that Wes Clark Jr. had to Tulsi Gabbard, to Evan Duke, to all of these politicians that showed up at Standing Rock, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but other movement leaders like Linda Sarsour and Yonazda Lone Wolf Hill, the granddaughter of Louis Farrakhan, and many, many others that I have shared with you on my program. And it turns out once you dig a little bit deeper, that not only were Wesley and his daddy, General Clark, former head of NATO, involved with Nexus, in bed with Nexus and people like Thompson Frank, they were also working on climate change stuff, invested. And by invested, I mean in business. Here is Wes Clark on the Twitter of the Nexus group in a dinner at the Crossroad Kitchens. And you can see he is all the way on the right side of this picture. It's partially cut off, so you know, you can see some of his face but not the whole of his face.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And it says Nexus for Climate, LA, Los Angeles. This was what they posted the picture of Wes and his wife. You see her seated right in front of him, Duke?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There she is, his wife. And she says, or whoever posted this says, great speakers, Ibrahim al-Husseini, shared about how profitable and fulfilling a climate-sensitive portfolio can be. And Wes Clark Jr. shared his knowledge about national security on climate change. We were donated a lot of incredible vegan mayonnaise from Sir Kensington's, and we dined in an incredible five-course meal at LA's top vegan restaurant, Crossroads Kitchen. A big thank you to everyone who came, and also to Dinah Madani and Shava Eva Goldstein for their incredible leadership on this initiative. And this was from November of 2016, I believe. I think you have to go to the bottom of the post. October of 2016, excuse me. I was close. It was a month off. So Wes was involved. So was his dad. If you want to go back, you can go to kppfm.com, type in Wes Clark Sr., General Wesley Clark, Wes Clark Jr., and all the shows where I talked about them and Nexus will pop up and their connections and what they were doing at around the time that Wes Clark Jr. swears his father had nothing to do with what was going on at Standing Rock. Swears to me that his father practically and his mother and his wife all practically wanted to disown him for getting involved in the veteran stand for Standing Rock, for what he was doing. It's a load of hooey, guys. They were all in on it from the get-go. You will recall in that show that I talked about how much Wes Clark's daddy was involved with, many of the shows that I talked about that, I not only showed you that Wes Clark's daddy met with Turkish propagandist Sedef Buyukataman and her daddy Kaya Alep at Wes Clark Jr.'s house in L.A., but that they also, Wes Clark Sr., spoke at Nexus events and spoke at an event at a environmental, event that was held it's titled on the November 29, 2016, it's titled Environmentalists Talk About Climate Change at a Post-Election Shared Mission Event. This was right after President Trump was elected president. They held an emergency meeting at which General Wesley Clark spoke, and at which they had the opening of the event, which was pre-recorded, which I showed you was a video of Vice President Al Gore. All right? I was not told about any of this at the time. I will share the link with you to that event, and so that you can check out the article for yourself, see what it is they was doing at the time. And I also, in the previous show in which I showed this, there was a Vimeo video or something that I shared with folks so that you can watch Al Gore speaking to them at this event. You can get all the juicy tidbits in that past show. But for now, just know that Wesley Clark's dad, Wesley Clark, were deeply involved with the Nexus Group, that the Nexus Group was deeply involved with TYT, and that they were deeply involved with what was happening at Standing Rock. But now they're also involved with what is happening with the caravans, with the requests for asylum, many of which these folks do not qualify for. Then it's important for you to understand what kind of power these folks are all connected to. I've shown you that Wes's dad was speaking at this event, at these Nexus events. I also wanted to share with you a post in which Marianne Thompson Frank talks about others in the lawyers group, the crooked lawyers group at Standing Rock, the WPLC. There was also the Freshet and the Lakota Law Project, but in this particular case, she's speaking directly about the WPLC and their lawyer, Michelle Cook. I showed you that Michelle Cook has been down with the camps with Juan Mancias. I showed you that Michelle Cook was suing Trump along with fake Indian and fake lawyer and serial rapist, now known to be a serial rapist, Red Wolf Pope. That's who Michelle Cook hangs out with. That's what Michelle Cook is up to. But she's also close to Marianne Thompson Frank. And in this post, Marianne gives hats off to Isobel, the one below that, right after Wes Dad, Nexus Duke. Duke? Thank you. It says, hats off to this kick-ass woman. She was warned. She was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted. And it's a quote. That's a quote that lots of feminists use. And then she goes on to tag Isabel Monroe, which is the actual name of Michelle Cook, the lawyer that I'm telling you from the Caravan Support Network that was recently down at the camps in Texas with Juan B. Mancias. Isabel Monroe, it says, first contracted me under the name Michelle Cook a few months ago and asked Joshua and me to get tents out to Standing Rock for her and the other attorneys who up until then had been working out of tents. They did very little to keep the cold at bay. She's missing words in there.
Yeah.
She worked with us, and here's the other person's kingpin, Christina Hollenbeck, that put Kathleen Bennett in jail under false pretenses. As you know, Christina Hollenbeck was also working with the WPLC. These people were directly involved in falsely framing a woman and then setting up the only legal defense funds that could be found at the camp, which they controlled, and that they did not let people that they framed access. Maria Lynn Dayton, thanks to Lawrence Bloom. Wes Clark. Javier Kinney, Nathan Mitu, and so many others via Nexus Working Group on Climate Change. Nexus Working Group Toward Equal Justice and Nexus Indigenous Issues Working Group. And through the Mananscene Institute's connections with Urban Intertribal Center of Texas, Greensource DFW, and others to help get what needed to get up there. So we see the connections to the three different groups within Nexus, the Mananscene Institute, Marianne Thompson Frank. Here's her profile from Facebook so that you can see for yourselves that Marianne is not only the co-founder and president of the John Philip Thompson Foundation for Non-Chemotherapy, Non-Brain Cancer Research. She's the executive committee member of Nexus, co-founder of the Mananscene Institute, president and owner of the Thompson Fine Arts, Inc., former chair of the Nexus Indigenous Workers Indigenous Issues Work Group, and that she is from Dallas, Texas. She manages the Mananscene Institute, Centro Comunitario Raxiali Mayab, and nine other pages. Now, who is this Samuel Kinney? Well, Nexus Isaac's Samuel Kinney that you just saw tagged there, Thompson's husband, and another guy who she is very fond of and has known since she was in the youth group in Nexus, are all tagged in this photo, where she says, three beautiful souls with hearts of gold. I admire these gentlemen so much from left to right. My wonderful hubby, Joshua. Then Kunai Sood, one of our closest friends and conference curator extraordinaire and a board member of the Mananscene Institute. And Isaac Samuel Kinney, who is one of the new chairs of the Nexus Indigenous Issues Working Group. So she used to be that chair. Then he became that chair. And then she says, yes, these men are getting things done that help the community greater than themselves. But they also share a singular wit with Joshua Raymond Frank, Kunai Sood, Isaac Samuel Kinney in New York, New York. I don't think they ever realize how much damage they're doing.
Yeah, no kidding.
But, you know, that's what happens when you have somebody like this woman who is raised by white folks and lacks her own native identity. And if you watch that crazy video, she talks about how she thinks she's a high priestess. She also acts like she is one. It's not enough for her to imagine appropriating other people's religions and cultures. She actually has to live the life. And this Facebook post from June 24th of last year, I believe, you can see that she was having recreating, you can't recreate something that never existed.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's not true. What is this? This is just theater. I guess this is a religious theater. Religious mocking theater. But she calls it an intercultural ceremony between the Tolteca of Teotihuacan and the Igbo of Nigeria. Today, after seeing all those children behind bars on the bus, she posted this after she was in the news story, in the press, where those children with the buses were, where she went for her photo op, her AOC photo op.
I see.
And she posted this intercultural ceremony saying, I need to think back to a beautiful moment of prayer with close friends. All these people that she's got dressed up in their original native garb and or regalia participating in this non-existent intercultural ceremony are her friends, or more likely people that she's invested in, or more likely that people that she has purchased. She thinks because she purchases people, because she buys them, because she gives them money, that they will allow her to do these kinds of things. And it looks like they do. Looks like they do. It says here, Lawrence Bloom was there. Many members of the Nexus Indigenous Issues Working Group. What kind of indigenous working group allows fake ceremonies to take place in the name of the organization they represent? Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Duke?
Well, it's all fake. You know, when I see someone being Tolteca, you know, and connecting with Nigerian, and you know, carrying around flames and putting something on their head, and just listen to the way she was talking on that thing about, you know, I just saw that there was kids in detention in concentration camps. Concentration camps are where people are concentrated. That's what it means, you know. And she just drives me crazy. I had to listen to that before the show. We only played it once. How about hearing it three or four times? It'll drive you crazy. So everything about her is really nuts. You know, it's like we've done shows about her. Go back and watch them. There's a lot more crazy stuff. And this woman is independently wealthy, you know, heir to the 7-Eleven throughout Mexico and, you know, a big oil corporation, Citgo. And, you know, it's just like, you know, talk about the silver spoon in her mouth. You know, she hasn't taken it out because, you know, it's affected her brain. I think it might have been an aluminum spoon.
Oh, my God. It's possible, Duke. It is possible. It is entirely possible. But, you know, we know that she was involved, that Nexus was involved, that Christina Hollenbeck was involved. It wasn't just one person from Nexus, Christina Hollenbeck or Marianne Thompson Frank. It was a number of people from the Nexus group that were involved in Standing Rock. A lot of wealthy, important, connected people. Here's a post from November, a November update that is from the Nexus Indigenous Issues Working Group that talks about how they were funding the tents that they were just talking about. And in this next post from December, you see that they are actually talking about these different groups that are involved in the support of the camps at Standing Rock. And, you know, they talk about President-elect Donald Trump, blah, 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 blah. But what's interesting to me is the different groups that they mention, which put Christina Hollenbeck and Marianne Thompson Frank on the same page. There they are, both named at the bottom of this post along with their groups. So Christina Hollenbeck, the person that falsely framed an innocent Lakota woman and put her in jail and put her mom in an early grave, works for the social justice group. Marianne Thompson Frank, who helped to fund that indigenous woman going to an early grave and another innocent one going to jail for 6 months before we could get her out. No thanks to the help of the WPLC or these rich people that helped put her there in the first place. Well, Marianne Thompson Franks was in charge of the indigenous issues at the time. And then we have Aaron Berger, Dylan Lanius in charge of climate change. And Hollenbeck is tagged. Marianne Thompson Frank is tagged. And on the second part of the update, we see a lot of other tags. Okay? Here are more tags. They include, on the right-hand side, they're talking about energy transfer partners. Okay. There's just a link where they're talking about what was going on. But you can see both of those, all three of those groups tagged there on the right. And finally, I want to remind folks that they're not just getting themselves, Nexus, it didn't just get themselves involved in the mass migration. They're purportedly working on human trafficking, something that deeply troubles and terrifies me given the way that they fund and who they help, who they fund and who they help, what they seem to fund and what they seem to care about. It's kind of terrifying. The Nexus Working Group on Human Trafficking and Modern Slavery, this post says, aims to mobilize resources and individuals to invest in high-impact solutions that address the root causes of human trafficking and combat modern slavery. Just look at who they're helping and who they're supporting. The phony, you know, mercenary activists that are at the border with Evan Duke. That's what this woman has been supporting ever since Standing Rock. That's what Nexus has been funding ever since Standing Rock. And Javier Kinney, who became the new Nexus Indigenous Working Group, blah, blah, blah. You can see here he is mentioned in this post as being the new guy. But I wanted to point out that this post says that Javier Kinney is going to be taking over the leadership of the Indigenous Working Group, but and that she thinks he's going to do a great job. But she also wants to wants represent what the Indigenous voices within Nexus want with what Rachel Jarrell and Jonah Whitcamper demand. So between the representation of this Rachel Jarrell and Jonah Whitcamper and Javier Kinney, they're going to do great. She also talks about the fact that the leadership of Nexus Australia, Christina Hollenbeck. Did you realize that Christina Hollenbeck was part of the Nexus Australia?
No, she travels around, huh?
She travels around quite a bit. And she says, this year, the Indigenous voices present at the Nexus Global Summit have been championed by the leadership of Nexus Australia, Christina Hollenbeck, who has generously brought Manape Lemaire back and helped Nexus Australia with logistics and Rachel Jarrell. There's Rachel Jarrell once again. Then she says, Rachel Jarrell assures me that starting again in 2019, the larger international Nexus organization will return to allowing the Indigenous members within Nexus to curate the panel highlighting their interests and concerns for future UN conferences. Okay? Future UN conferences. These people are connected to the UN. This is important for you to note. And Tulsi was one of the people that Christina Hollenbeck connected to, in addition to other senators. You can see that from these text messages shared to me by Wes Clark Jr. in his communications with Christina Hollenbeck, where she says, introduce me to Robbie and Phyllis, that's Phyllis Young, to point, run point and connect with them tonight or the AM and Tulsi's people or whomever else you like. And Wes Clark says, sure, what's JR's number? Then she says, I talked with Rachel. I'm assuming this is the Rachel Jarrell that is tagged in all of these posts that I've shown you. We have a Nexus member who can personally invite other senators. If you go to the second post there, she corrects her typo and actually types the word senators It said senators there.
Yeah.
But if you scroll down, she corrects it and said senators, etc. So I want to make sure to touch base with Robbie, Phyllis, etc. That's what they were doing. They were coordinating with the politicians, with the senators, with the Hollywood people, with the people connected to media. That's what you are listening to, 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo, Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Christina Hollenbeck was doing. That's what all of these people from Nexus do. They control media and politics. Let me show you the Public Foundation Facebook screen capture. This is their Public Foundation page. It gives you a little information, and you can see there the team members are Betsy Hendry, Daniel Wilkins, and Sergio Fernandez de Cordova. You can go find out more about this page connected to the Nexus group on www.public.org, but the U is a V. Mm-hmm. Here's what it says about the company's overview. What does it say, Duke, that they do?
Public is a global nonprofit organization that provides a principled approach to strategy and access to media for cause-related campaigns. The Public Foundation is an innovative nonprofit media agency that harnesses the power of media to drive social change, an aggregator of media across all platforms. Public works with works strategically to pair media space with key nonprofits at the local, national, and global levels. We unite existing emerging technologies to increase issue awareness around important causes and help nonprofits amplify their message. All public, we believe that media is the new currency.
Yes. They also work with blockchain. Sound familiar, Duke?
Yeah.
And by the way, that's exactly what Marianne Thompson Frank was talking about in that video that I shared at the top of the hour at the beginning of this program. So how does Public work? Let's go to their public website so that you can see what that looks like. This is their website. As you will note, on their website, they have, I don't know, why is it being like this?
Champions for Change at the top, and a bunch of people sitting around.
Oh, my God.
You know?
I don't know what's happening to my computer. It's being in.
Well, you can just look on the screen right there. So your slide is up.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying, Duke. I am trying. And if you scroll down, you see it says
Champions for Change.
Champions for Change. This is their Facebook page. If you go to what they do, this is what it says that they are about. Let's take a look. How Public works. Well, you've got the first step is impact. Okay. Public is always looking to partner with organizations to amplify their media budgets and help to create successful social media impact campaigns through the use of our media expertise and economies of scale. Then they use the media. They provide decades of media planning experience combined with network, the newest trends in media and technology to scale your social impact media campaign. Our team will analyze your objectives and target audience to create the most efficient and effective media strategies possible. Public works in partnership with the United Nations. That's step number three. Public works in partnership with the United Nations, as well as other IGOs and NGOs, to raise awareness and activate citizens globally around the Sustainable Development Goals. That's how it's done. You want to know how the sausage is done? That's how the sausage is made. Who is this Sergio guy? Listen to how he talks about how he started this foundation. He works with Nexus, but he started this foundation that works with Nexus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this public organization, Publik, is one of the organizations that was working directly with Wesley Clark Jr. And one of the board members of this Publik organization, besides Sergio, named Michael Smith, is one of the people that Wes Clark told me he was working directly with and whom he started his own business with. So these people are all in bed with each other. Here is what they do.
I believe in media being a catalyst for creating change in the world. I've been in the media world since I was 12, started with newspapers, post-production, graphic design, media agencies, and then a billboard business. And then that's when I really had an aha moment, literally a 4 o'clock in the morning moment where I sat up and I was just like, just trying to figure out what is that next thing, right? I'd already been running a billboard business for God knows how long, and you know, 8, 9, 10 years. And it just felt like it didn't define me anymore. It all came together. It's like, I need to go build a foundation that's focused on really grabbing something that's been part of my life altogether, which is media, and how we use media to make money, or how we use media to change people's lives. You know, I did a TED talk about media as the new currency for social impact, and really that was, you know, at that TED talk, I basically said, we're gonna start a foundation. And it was before I started the foundation, so I did the TED talk. People don't realize that I was actually pre-public. And so a little bit risky, and I was really nervous, and so started that, and it was crazy. And it's been an amazing adventure, and I'm currently active as the chairman, and I basically bring all together all the UN relationships, the White House relationships, try to educate them on how to use media to change the conversation. You know, media today basically tells us what to do, what to think, what to drink, what to buy, where to shop, what's cool, what's not, what type of hair color, what type of haircut. We are guided more by what media tells us what to do, right, than we are guided by what we believe we should do. And that's really where we're looking to break down that barrier, because today, at the end of the day, we are all humans. We are all connected by emotions, by what we believe in, what we love, what we care about. Then comes everything else. And so what I try to educate people about media is that media in your brain, the way your brain works, is your subconscious guides your conscious. And when you look at where we're going and at the speed of which we're getting, information is power. And how we inform people of these things is how we're going to educate that next generation. And so let's change the conversation by virtue of just what we do every day and how we use this space. Help create value for those that are changing the world every day and saving lives every day and giving them access to the same space that somebody's making billions of dollars with every day. Today in the world, there's about over $500 billion spent on advertising, but there is over trillions of dollars of space. If we just had 1% to utilize every year, it would change the world.
I hope that you were paying close attention to that, because he told you, media is key, media is currency, media is the next seat of power. And also, there was a campaign that was financed, funded, supported by Publik called It's On Us, featuring Barack Obama. I'm sure you noticed it. It also features Biden. He worked on that.
Mm-hmm. It's a ripoff of this media is currency. It comes from Jefferson. A quote from Thomas Jefferson is that information is the currency of democracy. You know, and it's like this media is the currency of, I forget exactly how they put it, but it's like they're ripping off a Thomas Jefferson quote. Which Jefferson was talking about is that, you know, information, which, you know, you can link to media now, because think about in Jefferson time, how information, who had information, who held on to information. It was a currency of democracy because information is so important. Media has taken it on. When I was in like eighth grade, a long, 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 long time ago, there was the media is the message. You know, they were talking about media influencing people, you know, when I was in eighth grade. And that media was having a large impact on people's consciousness and what they do and what they think, what they feel. It's been going on, you know, when he was, you know, in grade school, people were doing this sort of analysis.
Yeah. Well, you know, now it's being commoditized. And when you look at this video, you can also see that he's sitting at the table with Marianne Thompson Frank. I hope you did not miss this part of the video in which Thompson Frank is sitting all the way to the right. There's a woman in between them, but there's Thompson Frank. So she is very much a part of Public, just as he is very much a part of Nexus. They're all mixed up, mm-hmm. mixed in. Let's learn more about us. Show me the about us here, please.
I am.
There is the about us. And it has, if you scroll down further, the leadership, which includes all those faces there. If you scroll mouse over these people's faces, it tells you each of their names. But I'm more interested in getting to the next group of people there, which is the board of directors. And this is the board of directors. And you can see there that Mr. Cordova is in the top right or top left-hand corner of the board of directors. One of the board of directors of Public is him. Another is the one in the red square with the name over his eyes, mm-hmm. Michael Smith. This is the guy that I had already talked to you about in previous shows. If you watched Freaked the F Out Part 2, you will be able to listen to the role that Mr. Michael Smith played. Here is a bio of Michael Smith that carries a little bit more information about him.
Michael Smith, Advisory Council. Michael serves as a principal at Pond Valley, a family office meets think tank that invests in positive impact companies, solving important problems in the area of environment, water, food, shelter, education, and well-being. Michael began his career at Smith Broadcasting Group and helped sell the company to Boston Ventures in 2004. He then became a musician DJed with Kanye, Guns N' Roses, and later Entrepreneur, the Playlist Generation, B2B streaming music service, Creative Space, Adaptive Reuse in LA, San Francisco. He's been an active investor advisor for over 40 companies and funds since 1998. Recent investments include Aspiration, Lyft, Pinterest, SMS Assist, Nebbia, and Rubicon Global. He's a venture fellow with Brent School at UCSB, sits on the board of Public Foundation, the Advisory Council at Salk Institute, the United Nations Media Council on Social Impact, and chairs the Climate Committee at Blockchain for Impact.
Blockchain for Impact is also a group that Mr. Cordova is part of.
Oh, and he also was co-founder of Sustain SB, a precursor community environmental initiative to sustainablefuture.org.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to go over everything that I shared in my Freak the F Out Part 2 show. There's Freak the F Out Part 1 and Freak the F Out Part 2, which shares audio clips of Wes Clark Jr. interviews with me, in which he says what these people he was with were doing and how they got him involved in going to Standing Rock. He talked about a guy named Chris Kantrowitz, who he was with at the end of December, and that guy named Michael Smith and told him that, you know, his wife was in the Mossad. He had these outrageously crazy stories. But they talked about how they had shared a mission right before they went out to Standing Rock. And the family offices and lobbying groups. And also he talked about how this was about 48 hours into the Come to Jesus conference. I'm assuming that's the one I was talking about on November 28th or 9th that Al Gore welcomed people to. And he said there was Bernie Sanders campaign people involved. He named a bunch of specific people that he had knowledge of or connections to, as such as Jeremiah Zick, Elizabeth Torrance, Alma Hassie from Idaho, Anthony Diggs, Krista McDermott, Angelina Gonzalez, Julie Moore, and a woman named Carrie. His wife, Anna Perry's Clark, who you saw in that picture with him, in the Nexus group meeting, and his dad, all of them were very much involved, even though at the time that I was originally interviewing him on this topic, he basically told me that they wanted him to have nothing to do with this. I will share with you the article about that event that Wes Clark Jr. and his daddy attended, at which Al Gore was the keynote in a video. And I also want to share with you a little bit about Mr. Michael Smith's background and the wealth that he comes from. This is a part of what I showed on Freak the F Out in regard to Mr. Smith's wedding to Natali Amar at the family's Montesino estate. So pretty wealthy digs here. They had Kenny Loggins in a live performance at their reception for their wedding sing Footloose, Duke.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that stuff?
I'm all right. Nobody worried about me.
Yeah. And I also wanted to show you that they're both involved in Regeneration. Regeneration is a group organization. You can see the page for the LinkedIn for Regeneration here. It says it provides environmental services. And it says Regeneration is a newly formed collective of the world's elite special forces eco-warriors. The Reformation is 500 years old this year. Everyone alive today is about to live through the Regeneration. It's time for a global operating system, GOS upgrade. Welcome to a new world of regenerative culture. We will no longer have to worry about the future once we regenerate everything we have. In order to do this, we must all unite and work together with the urgency of World War II America, where 90% of factories converted to making weapons in a few months. That's what we must do with our environment. And Michael Smith is the co-founder, if you scroll down. You got Doug Scott, Barbara Page. These are employees at Regeneration. What you don't know is that Wes got in on the Regeneration game. Here's his LinkedIn. Here's Wes Clark's LinkedIn. And as you can see from it, you can see that he is co-founder at Regeneration. Also, he was with the Young Turks. I don't think he ever really left.
Yeah.
I don't think his and Jenks' partnership ever ended. He was there from 2004 to 2017, according to his LinkedIn, but we know better. We also know the connections between Bob and the media world. Bob Smith is Mr. Michael Smith's deceased father.
Okay.
He was the one that actually created the empire that Mikey was able to inherit at some point, much in the way that Wes Clark Jr. has inherited his credibility, at least, from his father. Michael Smith Media, here's the wiki, tells you that the Smith Media LLC, which is the successor to Michael Smith, to Smith Television, was a broadcasting group co-based in Los Angeles, California, and in St. Petersburg, Florida, and that Smith Television became Smith Media LLC in 2004 at the death of Bob Smith, mm-hmm. who was the head of the family. During 2010, Smith Media sold off its stations. On October of 2013, Smith Media reached a deal to sell its last remaining station in Utica, New York, to Heartland Media, a company owned by former Gray Television executive Bob Prather, pending FCC approval. That sale was completed at 2014. Check out the wiki for yourselves, folks. They owned a lot of TV. A lot of TV. And by the way, it was worth a lot of money. This guy is worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
Smith and his wife of 32 years, Ann, moved to Santa Barbara in 87, just after his firm, Smith Broadcasting, had bought KEYT-TV for $30 million. That's just one station, folks. Check out the wiki and check out how many others they owned.
Mm-hmm.
They literally owned dozens and dozens and dozens. So, this guy, Mike Smith, well-connected, moneyed, just like these other people. How about Sergio? How about Mr. Cordova, the public fund organization founder? Well, here's his Facebook page.
With the Pope.
And his cover photo.
With the Pope.
Is Pope Francis. Yeah, he had a private audience with the Pope, Duke.
Wow.
That's how he does. He's the chairman of Public Foundation, also founder of P3 Smart City. He went to Rutgers University. He studied entrepreneurial master's program at MIT.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He lives in New York. Here's his about section so you can see all for yourselves all the things that he is involved in. And it shows that he also lives in New York and that he, in addition to Public Foundation and Alianza Impacto Latino, runs the pages Blockchain for Impact, which I told you Mike Smith mm-hmm. and him were partners in, as well as Things Wireless. You can see he's got a bunch of pictures with important people there. Let's go through some of those so you get to know who he knows.
Yeah.
Remember the campaign I just talked to you about that was mm-hmm. in that video? What was it called? It's Us or We're yeah. Us. It's In Us or something
yeah,
like that.
About Us. Or...
About Us, something like that. It had Joe Biden in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here he is with Joe Biden. And this picture was taken back in when? 2016.
Yep.
And then we've got him with Richard Branson.
Really?
Yep. They're pals.
Yeah.
Oh, just another millionaire.
Yep.
They're hanging out. Looks like they're out in the middle of the ocean. Wonder if they're over in his, on his island.
Maybe.
You know, Richard Branson has an island.
It's a boat.
They're on a boat. They're yeah.
A
but,
boat in.
You know, they could be near the island.
Yeah, probably.
Here they are at the UN. Here's Public at the UN. Remember, they work with the UN.
I guess.
Now, I am not going to dive into all of the rumors, but there are some rumors about Branson and his money and his island and a certain trial going on right now. Anyway, you see how it's really creepy?
Mm-hmm.
That there's trafficking of children involved in all of this and that some of the people and funders behind it are, okay, it's creepy to me. I'm just saying. Here he is with Barack Obama. This was in 2017. And he says, he tags Obama. They're friends, guys. There's numerous times that this guy went to the White House and was hanging out with Obama. Okay? So, this was at Obama's farewell address. And he says, thanks to the president, former President Obama, for opening the door to us entrepreneurs, impact leaders, and activists. You give us a platform to grow, lead, and feel like the White House was also ours, belonging to everyone, helping us push America forward. Hashtag Barack Obama. What a radical idea. The great gift that our founders gave to us. And he tags Barack Obama right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's on us. That's the name of it.
It's on us. Yeah, that's what it was.
And he tags It's on Us. And you saw President Obama was in that video mm-hmm. with the It's on Us campaign thing
right.
on it. But so is Joe Biden and his wife, Jill Biden. Here's a picture of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can see Jill Biden here with Mr. Sergio Fernandez de Cordova and Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's around the same time. It's, you know, they raised awareness about the benefits of drinking water, created a movement to stop sexual abuse called It's on Us, brought awareness to imagining a better future, better make room, inspired children to higher education. And he tags Susan McPherson and Rachel Jarrell.
Mm-hmm.
Same person that Marianne Thompson Frank says was one of the people that helped her early on in life in the Nexus Group when she was just getting started. One of her first teachers, Rachel Jarrell. Who else is in here? We've got Sergio with Tina Chen of the Obama administration. Remember her involvement in the Jussie Smollett scandal?
Oh, yeah.
That Tina Chen?
Mm-hmm.
That had to recuse herself and something was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they know each other too. And notice this post that he makes where he's talking about all the changes that they made, that public has made, the world of good that they've done. He says, the best thing to hold on to in life is a quote from Audrey Hepburn. But he says in here, the hashtag UN, hashtag we are Nexus, hashtag public, hashtag P3GM. Those are all his different business associations. Those are all of them. The UN, Nexus, public, 3PGM. It's all right there. We are Nexus. Who else does he know? Well, just one of the other richest men in the world, Carlos Slim. He's hanging out with that guy. He calls him a rock star. Carlos Slim. Marco Lopez, governor. Just hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, really.
You know that Wes Clark opener, the event that Wes Clark Jr. and Sr. were at, right after President Trump got elected, where Al Gore welcomed everyone from a videotape.
Yeah.
Sergio got to meet him up close and personal. Sergio knows Al Gore. He worked with Al Gore too. Here he is posting a picture of Al Gore in a meeting, saying that they spent the day together discussing the launch of Discover Project. He's very excited about the new space technology that will update us about Mother Earth via images. And that was all the way back in 2015.
Wow.
Folks, if he knows Gore, he knows Clinton. You knew that was coming, right? Here he is at an event for the Clinton Foundation, hashtag P3GM and Bill Clinton. And, you know, he's connected to Rachel Jarrell, not just in the tags. Here they are in, why can't I see it?
First Facebook page.
This is from Rachel Jarrell's Facebook page. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
This is Rachel Jarrell's page. Let's look at her stuff.
Yeah.
Look at what she does. It's like she's a co-founder at Nexus. She's CEO and co-founder, so she's very close to the organization, but she's also the former executive director at Public Foundation. Do you see how they're all connected, Duke?
Oh, yeah.
She's also former special assistant of Ambassador Nancy Rubin.
Hmm.
and the former director of Young Adult Initiatives at the Schusterman Family Foundation. Also former HSG Rec Director and Counselor of the Interlochen Center for the Arts. She studied at the sociology at the University of Pennsylvania. She went to Princeton High School. She lives in New York. She's married, manages Nexus and the Survivor Initiative. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's her Facebook intro. She also is in charge, apparently in charge of going to all the global Nexus summits. Here she is promoting the 2019 Global Summit in New York. Here she is at an event in Tokyo. Here she is at an event for the Nexus Asian Summit. She's got her ticket. It says Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Gerald Cohen. You can see Cohen on some of her tickets that she puts on her Facebook page. Some of them say Gerald. Some of them say Cohen. Some of them say Gerald Cohen. If you go over to the comments, you see Sergio Fernandez de Cordoba. Commenting on her post about going to the Nexus Asian Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also one where Chef Grace, this is more recent, that's Chef Grace in the middle next to Rachel Gerald, where this famous chef is talking about refugees. Check this out. It says, last night, Nexus hosted a salon. This was from May 8th, Duke, just last month. On the issue of children being separated at the border with the incredible Chef Grace Ramirez, led by Christine from the Nexus Working Group on Refugees and Forced Displacement. They have a working group for that, too. Please send your social media. Use your social media to keep this issue in the spotlight, and then it gives a link to an article on the Trump administration and the separation of children.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the agenda here?
Oh, yeah.
You hear the agenda? Here's Sergio Fernandez Cordova with Rachel Gerald. They're together. So they not only are tagged to each other, they work with each other. Here is Rachel Mary Ann in a post where Mary Ann is talking about Rachel Gerald and tags her at the very top. She says, Rachel Gerald was so sweet to recommend Ruma Bose, author of Mother Teresa CEO. Then she gives the link to the book and me to Lifestyle Magazine for video interviews, which will eventually be uploaded. Others we bumped into while there included Sergio Fernandez de Cordova, who participated in the Humanitarian Innovation Forum public hosted at the United Nations by Kunai Sood, the guy in the picture with her husband and the guy that runs the Indigenous Nexus Group Working Group, Lawrence Bloom, and myself last year. So same people running in the same circles there in the comments. You see Sergio commenting, can't wait to see our interviews. They go back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a group of people. Before, I had just talked to you about Marianne Thompson Frank. Now I am bringing others into the picture, and I will be going down more rabbit holes to expose all of the people in these organizations' groups, what other groups like public they are connected to, and what kind of power, what kind of politics, what kind of agenda all of them have, not only in the past with infrastructure and energy policy, but now with immigration policy and requests of refugees for political asylum. Thank you for listening to this program about public here on A Mexican Crossing Lines with your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Keep it tuned here and have a great night.